Everybody has that child, the time when a child seems to go into a hole. Something emotionally is going on and we don't know what to do. We need to open the child's heart. Today, we're going to talk about those pragmatic steps to get to your child's pain.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose. I'm Ruthie J, your host, and that was Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. Finally, we're talking about the practical steps, and we have been thinking about what's going on in our life that I'm not even at this point where I can talk to my kids about their pain. They're weird. How do I notice? I'm too busy to notice. I'm not even available. So once you've heard those programs, if you missed any of them, you can hear them again at parentingonpurpose.org. But today we'll talk about these steps, the how-to.
Let me start with talking about the parents of young children, little children, what they need to do today before the pain's there. And then obviously here at Sheridan House, we work with all ages and the counseling center works with all ages, but our children's homes are all teenagers. And so there's ways to get to that child after the lines of communication have been cut and they have no clue how to express their pain. In fact, the fact that they have no clue how to express their pain many times has led them to behavior to get them here at Sheridan House to live with us. But if you start early on, if you have a four-year-old and you start early on and have a regular ongoing appointment with your four-year-old. For instance, when Tori turned four, I believe it was four. Rosemary was thinking it was 3.5. We're talking about it. I don't think it was 3.5. I think it was 4-ish. I began every Wednesday morning taking her to McDonald's and we would sit there. And it was bizarre to sit with a four-year-old at McDonald's, watching her twice in that first year spill things across the table on me, her chocolate milk or whatever it was. But we began opening the doors of communication. We began talking and I decided with the help of Rosemary to use that time to listen, ask her questions and listen, just listen. We maintained that Wednesday morning thing with the kids date. They owned me. They owned my ears, not my mouth. And they owned my ears and my eye contact and not get distracted.
And you had to learn that too. Because
I had to choose. Yeah. I had to choose to realize I'm focused like we're talking about microbiology and we're talking about strawberry patch kids or whatever that thing was called. Strawberry shortcake, something or others. Yes. And so I had to look and she had to look like he's really listening. So that when we got to middle school and high school, that was her safe place. That was almost like Wednesday morning therapy. Mm-hmm. And some of the things she would regurgitate on the table, some of the things she would regurgitate about me that I did and you didn't. And I had to choose to listen because I'm trying to keep the door open. I don't want to close the door. Mm-hmm. And even though there were days where I'm thinking, why am I doing this? And I was doing this to keep the door open because I didn't want her to be so needy, like we all are, to share with somebody that she shared with anybody. Mm. I didn't want to make her vulnerable, relationally vulnerable, to want a boyfriend by 13. I wanted to keep those lines of so if you've got a small child, I think you begin with that. If you've got an older child, 8, 10, whatever, and you haven't started, you can still start that. And the longer you wait, the more awkward it is. It doesn't matter. You do it anyway. Why are we doing this? Yeah. And let me assure you of this. When she hit middle school, she tried to get out of it for a while. And she would say, do I have to get up early tomorrow? And I would say, Tori, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me, which I know my father smiled at the fact that that wasn't actually true.
Which technically at the end of the road, it is for you because you want to keep the communication.
Thank you.
Open,
you just rescued me from lying on air and I appreciate that. Yeah, that just validates you're a little more intellectual than me and you can put it all together. I said, yes, we're going. To this day, I don't know whether she was just testing or whether she'd like to sleep an extra half hour, but it was worth it. Mm-hmm. Because from high school on, we had an amazing relationship. Through college, we had an amazing, I wrote her every day, her freshman year, a letter, because we had a relationship that she knew at this hour, I have dad other times. There are times we go for a walk. The time he had me paint the entire garage because of something I did inside of the garage, but he sat in a chair with me. We have a relationship. We want to open that door of relationship. Now, if it's an older child, you can break in with that. But with any child, I need to notice, and we've talked about that all week. I think this whole thing starts with notice. Notice what's going on. Notice the swing in the mood. And then there are times when I see the swing in the mood and I know I've got to figure out how to get to this child. So the second step here, I really think, is knowing my child well enough to try different venues for communication. With Roby, soccer ball. With Tori, go sit on a swing.
Like
sit
how
in the back
to make
porch.
The ask, right?
Yeah. Are they comfortable talking here? Are they comfortable talking sitting on the patio of our house? Are they comfortable talking going to the park, just separating them, isolating them out of the house away from everybody? Where are they? Are they comfortable when it's bedtime? When it's bedtime and I just sit on the floor with my head on her bed and start talking? You slowly over a period period of time find. You know, when you come to the Counseling Center at Sheridan House, the rooms are all different. There are some rooms that look like a living room. There are some rooms that look like an office. There's some rooms that have a dining room table in it.
Really?
Yes. And it's just a matter of, you know, everybody's different. A whole family, they tend to be better sitting and leaning on a dining room table with a cup of coffee. My office has a dining room table. It's just a better, I feel comfortable. It's knowing your child and sensing your child. Mm-hmm. And each child is different. Some children speak in bullets. Some children speak in emotion. It's, you know, well, Bob, can't you just give us a one size fits all? No, you don't go to the shoe store and say, I got four kids. I need four size 13s. They're all different.
Right. And you probably are going to have to learn new ways too, because they're not your ways of talking.
Ooh, very good.
About pain too, you know?
You know, I would go out to breakfast in the early days with Rosemary, and as Tori was talking more and more intellectually aware and more started to express her feelings, and I come back and I say, you know, she said this about something that Ashley said to her that hurt her feelings. And to be honest with you, Rosemary, I had no clue. I just listened. And I'd say, you know, help me with this. And I'm
this
talking
girl
to Rose.
Estrogen stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm talking with Rosemary while I'm on the phone on the way to work. And she's saying, well, maybe if you could just help her with this and this. And I took advice from my other half on how to handle this, where Rosemary would say, you know, Roby comes in, he storms up to his room, he gets on his drums, he just beats his drums to death. And I don't know, should I go in or not? I'd say, you know, that's not the time. Let him beat it out with the drums first, and we'll see. And she will say, well, when are you coming home? And I'd say, I'm coming home in another hour. Let him be on the drums. When I come home, we'll go out front and shoot hoop. It always happens. We exhaust ourselves shooting hoop, and then we're sitting on the grass laughing about how he beat me again. And hey, something happened in school today. What was it? And find that. But I've got to find my open up way. Mm-hmm. What opens them up? Where are they? Do they open up best? Rosemary knows getting me out of the house is the best way to get me to open up.
Mm-hmm.
In the house, because I'm ADHD, I see, you know, while we're doing this, let's fix this. While we're doing this, let's go do that. Mm-hmm. Rather than looking each other in the eye, she knows. You learn the people you love.
Right.
And they're each different. Mm-hmm. So learn that and then go after that. But the whole time, I think the biggest word here we want to use is listen.
Yeah.
And listen beneath the words and ask listening questions, not fixing questions.
Like, how did that make you feel?
Yeah, listening questions are, I understand that. I just, when did that? How did that?
And but just ask for more details just to get them to keep talking?
Yeah, get them to, and that made you feel bad because, why? Well, it made me feel like nobody liked me then. Nobody, okay. Mm-hmm. And I want them to get past the incident and on to, okay, what did that do?
Mm-hmm.
How did that incident get you to this place where you're kind of in a little bit of hole, mm-hmm. of a hole? And then go back to listening, because the real key here is not to fix the situation. The real key here is not to fix the problem. The real key is to teach your child to talk about their issues, to talk about their problems, mm-hmm. So that they grow up able to talk about it.
Because there is that mentality, well, that's part of growing up and they have to learn to deal with it. And you give them a little room to deal with it. Part of dealing with it is just talking about it, not having a solution to it,
yeah.
just getting through that.
Mom, it's not going to school tomorrow and fixing it.
Right.
The answer here is not to go to school. We're taking care of this. I will take care of this. I will talk to that coach. I will talk to that teacher. Mm-hmm. Really? And so you're going to go talk to their employer too? Yeah.
Because it happens and it's never a good result.
Oh, no, it's not a good result. Your mommy showed up today here at IBM. Yeah, that's never good.
Yeah.
Or not only that, but mommy going to talk to your spouse, that's never good either. That's mm-hmm. a massive betrayal. I want to help them help themselves. I'm raising them towards independence, not dependence.
Mm.
I don't want to take the problem from them. I want to help them handle and I want to share it with them.
I know it's so hard. I mean, if it's like a bullying issue, for
example. I want to fix the world for my kids,
you
but I won't be able to fix it when I drop them off on a college campus. Remember the goal here, and we've talked about it many, many times. Everything I want my child to be able to do in college, we need to practice here in home.
Mm-hmm.
It's an internship.
Mm-hmm.
And so helping them just get it out and helping them talk about it. Sometimes it also helps when you can share something in your life that hurt your feelings, something mm-hmm. in your life that got you in a bad mood. We tend to only share the triumphs or the trash. You know, we tend to only share the great things we did as kids or the horrible sin that we had in our past. This is my testimony. That's not your testimony. The horrible sin you had is not your testimony. testimony. When you give a testimony for Christ, it's what he's done for you, not the stupidity of your life prior to Christ. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't share the triumphs or the trash. I wouldn't share the, oh, you'll get over this. Mm-hmm. You'll see tomorrow's a new day. It's not. That's why I'm talking to you about it. I've been in a hole for 3 days. I think, though, if you can share the time that you were embarrassed in the showers at school, you were embarrassed in the lunchroom, or for my kids, I grew up right outside of Manhattan in the era of the Fonz, and they loved seeing pictures of my hair and how greasy my Fonzie hair was, and talking about moving from there to very preppy Bethesda, Maryland. And the first day of school, I knew, okay, I've made a mistake. I don't fit here. And the process, and them hearing about the process, looking at the picture, Dad, please tell me you didn't look like that. Well, I'm thinking that's me. That's the way I looked. And it just helps them know we do get over these things without saying you do get over these things. Mm-hmm. And if you can share a similar experience, you know, without saying you get over it, they can see that you get over it. Because I can't ever imagine my parents had problems. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think you were born 35 years old. Mm-hmm. And so in the listening, share a little bit. But boy, the solution that we're looking for is them talking about it, them opening up, them beginning to process here. Offer advice if solicited.
So you literally ask, okay, do you want me to help you with this? I mean,
I think, no, I don't. I wouldn't even say that. So what do you think you need to do?
Mm-hmm. What do you think? So let them try to figure it out first.
I want them to go from heart to brain to mouth. All these things are going on in their heart. I want them to get to go to their brain to process it, mm-hmm. and then to mouth. And then I want them to know in this process, you know, you're not alone, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're not alone. You know, Jesus, he's either real or he's not. He says he'll never leave you or forsake you. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're not alone. You know, Romans 8, what was the verse we did last week? And what can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is with us, who could ever be against us? See, this is why we memorize verses. Mm-hmm. This is why we have to, all of us have to understand church is great, but it's not responsible for the spiritual growth of my children. That's my job. And as much as they battle it, watching these boys, these kids here is hilarious when they arrive at Sharon's.
They also have to memorize Bible verses
here? They can
here?
Memorize Bible. We don't make anybody do anything. You can. But the real thing that we do here is we read the Bible every day. Read the Bible every morning. And it's just those guys. I got a call, not recently, I got a call a year ago on an experience a couple of years ago that was the reminder for me. A couple of years ago or more when I was the interim at First Baptist West Palm Beach, and I turn around and look in the choir loft, and there is Michael. He was Mike when he was with us. He's Michael now, 36, 37-year-old Michael, who 25 years ago was at Sheridan House. Last kid I ever thought would be part of a church or part of a church choir, beaming because he and I both knew that he and I both recognized. He knew who I was because he knew me as an adult, but I didn't know him. The other one was Robbie, calling from Tennessee, telling me what he was doing with his life. The kid who slept through every devotion in the morning, it appeared to be. He's doing amazing things for the Lord with his life right now. They get it. They just don't say, that was a wonderful time.
Yeah.
They get it. And so when we're dealing with this, anytime we're dealing with this, if we can tie this back at all to any of the things we're doing scripturally, any of the things we just read, or any things, remember Pastor's message, whatever it is, it's starting to help them realize, and the statement I made to my kids constantly, I'm just your dad, he's your father. Mm. I will not be walking with you into that. Unless, of course, it's a safety issue. I will not be, but your father will always be with you. Mm-hmm. And all things do work together for good. Even this horrible thing that's hurt your feelings right here. And what can we say about such wonderful thing? If God's for us, who could ever be against us? I want to give them that go-to place when they're in that darkness, when they don't know. And I want to help them take off those dark glasses. Some of the things we deal with emotionally cause us to like walk into the light of life with dark glasses on. You're walking into a building with dark glasses and you can't see the light anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to help them learn to slowly take those glasses off. But remember, we're dealing with 8-year-olds or 12-year-olds or 16-year-olds. Right. The reality will be when they're 26 years old and they tell you, you know what? You don't know I was listening. I was listening and my life has changed. Mm-hmm. I want to help my children by helping them help themselves and point them to Christ.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. I'm Ruthie J., your host. And if you want to hear today's program again, share it with another parent who needs to be encouraged to help their child. Go online to parentingonpurpose.org. We've got a lot of other topics that you can share for free. Sign up to get this program automatically as well. And to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, support the ministry financially. You can do that by giving directly to the organization, or even getting resources that help you out, and the proceeds help the children's homes. That's all online at shfm.org. We hope you join us tomorrow. We're going to be wrapping up this topic of noticing your child's pain and how to help them out on Parenting on Purpose.